I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, boys and girls, Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday. Got to go get me some ashes put up on my head. Falling back a little bit on my Catholic upbringing there. Listen, if you're Catholic, I'm not here. Coach, just behave this morning. Just behave this morning. Morning. Start all over again. Good morning, folks. It is the, 6th day of March, 2019. The Lord's not making another one. We are a week into March already. Man, how can that possibly be? Time is flying by. Marshfield, Wisconsin this weekend. Bunch of stuff are heading there. Boy, I got a treat for y'all. You ready for this? Tomorrow, live and in studio, John Brockoff, the Mad Bomber. Yeah, John. John's going to go to Wisconsin with us, and we have to leave early in the morning, so he's coming this afternoon and going to spend the night here. And I've been wanting to get him on the show because let me back up a minute. If I could find that. Jared, bear with me a second because I'm going to find it right now because I think it is important for people to see this. Let's go right here. John Brockoff, who, 25 years ago, burnt down two abortion clinics in Cincinnati. John's going to be here. Hang on, man. I got to see. I'm looking for something, Jared. Bear with me. Oh, I'll get going, then I'll come back. I want to find it. So anyway, John's going to be here with us tomorrow as we head to Marshfield, Wisconsin. I'm going to pick up Matt Tice on the way up. We got a good crowd going up there. I know Rob's really excited for that event. So again, if you're in the area and you can make it to Marshfield, man, it's going to be really good, really anointed. And all of us try to get there and support Rob and what he's trying to do if we possibly can. Yeah, it's a good thing, man. I'm still looking for right wing folks. Listen to me. I want to make this clear. This is what I'm trying to find here on my computer. Where is that, Sarge? I'm not going to do violence against abortion. Okay. That's what one of these websites put out about me yesterday, the other day, because we were talking about abolish human abortion. And if we really, really believed it, we would do more than talk. And so they said that I'm gearing up for violence at abortion. I want everybody to know right now, ain't no violence at abortion clinics coming from me, nor am I encouraging other people violence at abortion. Okay. Let's get that straight right now. I want that to be on the record for those of you out there who laying in the weeds trying to do whatever you can. Although, you know, I've said this before. I just believe this in my heart, that if violence comes to America, it's going to be violence that's perpetrated by the other side, by the God haters. And if they bring violence, I believe godly men will respond likewise. Does anybody disagree with that? Is anybody right now, anybody in this queue waiting to, can't wait to get out there and go shoot some people? Anybody thinking that way? I'm not thinking that way. I'm not encouraging any of that kind of stuff. But the reality is, at some point, we got to stand up and we got to push back. There it is. There it is. Oh, Jared, I'm going to send it to you. Anybody disagree with that? Nobody in here wants violence. Who wants violence? Violence kills people. Not only does it kill people, it kills our own people on our side. Why would I want any kind of violence? I don't want any kind of violence. But if violence comes, it comes because the other side brought it. And exactly. It's time we as Christians understand there's nothing wrong with defending yourself, right? I'm distracted. That's why I'm trying to get there. It is. Hey, Jared, I want to send this to you right now. It's coming to you right now. I want you guys to understand what I'm talking about here, okay? Because I think this. They're going to use this. Your friends are going to use this kind of stuff to keep you from associating with the Q. Okay? You do know that, don't you? You do know that those people who are comfortable in their Christianity, they don't like the fact that you're making them uncomfortable. And so they are looking for any reason to get you to disassociate yourself from what's going on. Somebody out there say amen. You don't have to. You're not saying amen, because I know it's going on. I know it's going on. And those of you who've been in here every day know exactly where we're coming from and what we're talking about, and know that we lift up the name of the Lord here, and we're not about violence. We're not about any of that stuff. We simply ask ourselves here, at what point does a man say enough's enough? At what point does a godly man stand up and push back? That's what we talk about here. So, Jared, pull up on the screen real quick. Kevin Bushy sent me this. Kevin said, from Pathos. I don't even know what they are. Coach Dave appears to be preparing to commit violence against abortion. See if you can pull that up here, Jared. This is the kind of stuff they do. This is the kind of stuff they do to us. All right. This is the kind of stuff. There it is. This is from Pathos. I don't even know what they are. Coach Dave appears to be preparing to commit violence against abortion clinics. That was put up there on February 28th by Ed Brayton. I don't know who Ed Brayton is. A few days ago, Coach Dave Dahmer praised a man who tried to bomb him. That's John Brockhoff. And I praised John Brockhoff, and you're going to hear John Brockhoff again tomorrow. John Brockhoff, back 25 years ago, back in the 80s, John burnt down two abortion clinics in Cincinnati. He served his time, 10 years in jail. You'll hear the story tomorrow. He made sure nobody was in there. He wasn't interested in hurting anybody. Not at all. He didn't firebomb. He burnt two abortion clinics to the ground. And so I admire about John? He had the courage of his conviction. We'll say this clearly. Right now, important I say this, I'm not in support of anybody burning down abortion clinics, backing abortion clinics. If you do that, you do that of your own. You didn't hear it from me. We're not encouraging anybody to do violence against anything. But I want you to hear John Brockhoff's story about how he's the most peaceful, loving. Yeah.
Look at the title of this. Coach Dave appears to be preparing to commit violence against abortion clinics. Okay. Coach Dave appears to be preparing to commit violence against clinics that literally kill people, thousands of them. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hey, Coach.
How many people pick this up and read this stuff, say, oh, my goodness, I knew that coach was all – I knew he was on the edge. Yeah, yeah, Paul.
Are these the same idiots that didn't have any problems with Antifa doing what they do to cities and all that, burning down stores and cars and all that?
Remember this, Paul. They force us to live up to our own set of standards. I'm going to get into some of that here today, okay? Absolutely. Yes, it is, right? It's okay if they burn them down, but it's not okay if we burn them, right? Two sets of standards. Now, well, I'm already off track this morning to where I wanted to go, but I want you to know, folks, this stuff's serious. These kind of things are serious. And they make these kind of accusations against people because we know, I'm going to get into some of the Alinsky tactics. This isn't a Alinsky tactic at all, it is. They want to discredit me. They want to discredit you. They want to discredit or scare away anybody else who might even think about coming out of the pews. If you're thinking that you're about coming out of the pews, well, you're with Coach Dave and he wants to bomb abortion. That's where it goes, right? And you know this, that there are people in your circle who already think you're crazy because you're listening. So this is more of what's going on. See, this isn't aimed, folks. This is not aimed at the left. Left couldn't care less. This is aimed at the right. This is aimed at those who should be on our side. And the last thing most people want to have said about them is anything controversial. So I don't want to burn them down, but John Brockhoff's going to be on here tomorrow and tell you a story of how he did. Come on in. I hear somebody trying to get in.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say.
Have you checked these guys out, Pathos?
No, I haven't.
They're a progressive religious organization.
Oh, that'd be good.
Progressive. They're religious. A non-denominational, nonpartisan online media company.
Good.
Providing information and commentary from various religious and non-religious perspectives.
Oh, good, good, good.
The translation of Pathos is the path to God.
There you go, buddy. There it is. Well, your enemies shall be those of your own household. Thanks, Lowell. I didn't do that.
What did they used to call a guy that was planted in an organization or an army or an infiltrator? These guys are infiltrators. They're not people of faith. They're not Christians.
No,
they're pagans.
I can get.
And they're cloaking themselves in this better than Jesus bullcrap. Okay, and then launching these kinds of attacks on the true faith, on the original faith of Jesus. So you know, screw them. Wear their scorn as a medal of honor.
Amen,
brother.
Pissing
off the right people.
Thanks, Lowell. I know I am, man. I know I am. See what they want to do.
I love violence. Nothing like the good sound of a violin. You know what I mean?
From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffered violence and violent men take it by force. Hey,
Coach.
Do you know this? Listen, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes says there is a time to kill. Have you guys heard of wars? Have you ever heard of a war? And what is a war? Well, if they're righteous wars, then it's a righteous time to kill. There is a time to kill. To everything, burn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to whatever, a time to kill, a time to heal. There it is, folks. There it is. Murder is not killing. Killing is not murder. They are not the same thing. All right? All right? Well, I'm making people nervous out there. And see, somebody's going to take this clip right here, and they're going to make a little YouTube clip, and they're going to say it. And then somebody's going to hear about it at church. Somebody says, look at that guy. You follow all the time. He was not but killing people.
Hey, Coach.
Just lied. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd have, you know, when we try to do the you know, gathering these pastors come out to the clinic, and we'd serve them lunch, and I'd be sitting there and have a pastor go, so are you the guys that go out and blow up abortion clinics? Cause I don't want to do that. I said, well, listen, when you come out, we promise we won't blow up any clinic that weekend, you know, but we'll save that for another week. I mean, what is the lie? I mean, come on, let's be real about this. I mean, we go around blow up clinics and we just don't get caught, you know, and it never makes it to the news. Why? Cause it's
we're but hey, folks, we can't laugh it off because these are the techniques they use. Yeah, Alan.
You know what's the matter with these folks, man, these preachers? They're too busy eating and preaching Samson's honey. Think about what I'm saying now. You go back and research and you dive deep in them scriptures and Judges about Samson's honey, brother. That's exactly what's going on. It's poison. It's wicked. And these rascals are munching on it, and they're serving it like going out of style.
Amen. Samson's honey. I'm going to look that one up. Dick, you might remind me of Samson's honey. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. I want to finish up a little bit of where I started yesterday. You want to have yourself a good read, fellow Christians out there. You really want to have a good read. Dive into Ecclesiastes. Man, there's some wisdom in there, man. Is it ever good? It, in my mind, it's a lot like Proverbs. Just keeps making good point after good point after good point. And I just want to kind of piggyback this on yesterday. It's chapter 9 is where I am. For all this, I consider to my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise man and their works are in the hands of God. Say that again. The righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. God controls them. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. We don't really understand love and hatred. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And the madness is in their heart. We see that, don't you, folks? See that? Do you see that out on the streets today? While they're is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Boy, there's hope in the living. Boy, a living dog is better than a dead lion. My goodness. For the living know that they shall die. But the dead, they may not anything. Whoa, we'll read that again. For the living know not that they for the living know that they shall die, but the dead don't know any. That is amazing, boys. That's right there. See, that comes back again to being born again. You die once, you're born again, and you never die again. He's talking about the dead fleshly people, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy, it's gone too. It's all perished. Talking about the dead. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Talking about the dead. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean those who are born again have some more to do under the sun? So go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments also be white, and let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with your wife, whom thou lovest, all the days of your life with thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, and all the days of thy vanity. That is the portion of this life and in the labor which thou takest under the sun. In other words, that's all you're going to get, man. That's all you're going to. You go enjoy it. You go drink, eat, drink, and be merry with your wife, because that's going to be it. That's all you're going to have. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Boy, I could preach there. Hold me back, Holy Spirit. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're heading, dude. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. Hey, Vic, this is it. For man also knoweth not his time. And as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the souls of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have seen under the sun, it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and few men within it. There came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man even remembered who that guy was. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. Why? Because he didn't have a lot of money. Poor man's wisdom, nobody wants to hear it. And his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth against amongst fools. There's a lot of wisdom in Randy Lunsford as compared to Charles Schumer. A lot of wisdom in George Lewis as compared to Barack Obama. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. That's some preaching right there, boys. That's some preaching right. By the way, Ecclesiastes means the preacher, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Amen. All right. Somebody rescue me here. Get me back on target here. That's good stuff, buddy. That is some good stuff. And you know what? You know what's going on? I got a couple things I got to cover here real quick. I said that I'm looking at my list over here. I spoke about Wisconsin tonight, Marshfield this weekend. Remember that Lowell has an event next weekend in Ohio, two weekends. I'm sorry, Lowell. Get it up there for me real quick, Jared. And anybody in Ohio, please come and join us. You know, Tim got in here yesterday, said, Coach, what about out here in Oregon? Yeah, we're going to Oregon in June. I'm just, you know, I'll get that all set up and get back there. Check out our huddle, Faith Huddles. Next weekend in Lancaster, Lowell's hosting one over there. And then the Occupy, and I mentioned yesterday, anybody gets in there and registered within the next week, a week from Monday, we're going to do a drawing over here and give away 5 free hotel rooms to people who come to Occupy Till I Come in Canton. More and more. Bobby's got one. We've got another one going to Louisville here. The Watchman come. I just don't want to get too far out of you, but keep checking in there. Man, we're busy. We're busy, folks. We're busy. It's all good. I want to make sure we all understand this. Today is Ash Wednesday. Jared, pull up Ash Wednesday for me real quickly. High places, dug in high places. Verse 34, Jared. There you go. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Stay with me. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip. Look at this. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I would have wounded them that they were not able to rise, and they fall under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the nets of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Oh, they cried. And there was nobody to save them, even unto the Lord. But he didn't need to answer. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. thou hast made me the head of the heathen? Wow! A people whom I have not known shall serve me. And as soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and the left of God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivered me from my enemies. Yea, thou hast lifted me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed evermore. That was before God got born again. That was before he got turned nice. Somebody help me out here. You're like preaching to myself. Sissified Christianity. You're not going to find sissified Christianity anywhere in that Old Testament. I'll tell you that. Doors open. Somebody walk in here.
How'd they get away with it, Coach? How'd they get away with it? The Roman Catholic Church in public did that. What was the outcome? What was the result? What happened? How could that just go away after it was publicly acknowledge that it happened? What happened?
I don't know. Do you have an answer? Is it rhetorical?
No, I don't know. That's the point, though. How can they hide something so big in public and wrong?
Political powers and monies, bro. The Catholic Church, look who's sitting on the Supreme Court. Political people in office, these Catholics, brother, the follow the blood, follow the money.
It's the spirit of that spirit. See, it's that spirit. Folks, you got to understand this. Some individuals are being used by the enemy and don't even know it. You realize that, don't you? Some of them are very, very demonically evil and are purposeful in their evil. But some of them are just.
we underestimate the role of the demonic. We underestimate the power of the demonic.
Okay. That's right. That's right. And as we just saw there, David spoke about enemies and what we're supposed to do with our enemies. And what are we told in the New Testament? Love our enemies. Personal enemies. Yes, it's different. Yes, I get that. I get that. But we don't love our enemies to the point where we allow them to come in and teach our children that homosex is normal. That, folks, that ain't love. If you think that's love. Jesus flipped over the table simply guys raising money in the church. Can you imagine what he would think if? Okay. So let's go something real quickly. Had you guys ever read Psalm 18? Had you ever read that? That is amazing, isn't it? He teaches my hands to war. Man. Jared, let's go to Alinsky. Some of you, this is a review for Alinsky's rules. We cannot forget what we're up against. Tholinsky's 13 rules for have-nots to gain power. That's what's going on, folks. That's what's going on. You know, I don't want to give any credit to anything. The enemy, they are at work nonstop. They are organized. Have you ever noticed that when something goes down, that they need a mob out in the street. They already have. They make a phone call, and the mob shows up. We want to get some people out on the street, and it takes a month to get 10 of them.
Dave.
Yeah.
We also need to understand Saul Alinsky did more than just wrote a book.
That's true.
I mean, we think, well, he just wrote this book. No, in his time, he was a leader nationwide.
Community organizer, Robin. He was the ultimate community organizer.
To spread communism. If you follow him and you watch the biography, this guy wanted communism in this country and was the man. It was more than just a book. It was a huge movement in the United States.
Roger, it says down here, the basic philosophy was to give power to the have nots. And see, they create have nots. That's all it is. They create have nots.
Well, they ultimately take it from the have nots and then consolidate it into a few.
Oh, don't ever forget that. It's their power they're seizing, right?
Yeah.
And they can go ahead, Dale.
No, the reason why that they can organize hundreds and thousands in the streets and we can't, part of the problem, it's not an excuse. But brother, they don't have jobs, and we do. We're being responsible, you know, paying our children.
Amen. Yep, and our enemies are ruling over us, right? Would you guys agree with me? Okay, now let's go down just so again, so that you understand this. here's his rules for radicals. We've talked about this before. Here they are. Number one, power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. So I want you to think about the abortion right now. Our side is convinced the courts are going to overrule. See, it's not the power they have, but it's the power we think they have. And Zelensky says power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood.
It's a Charlie Brown Lucy moment, Coach. Pulling that football from underneath us every stinking time. I won't do it this time, Charlie Brown. I promise.
Never go outside the expertise of your people. In fact, when you watch those people out in the streets, they're all saying the same chant. They're the robots just repeating the same chant. And if you go do an interview with those people out in the streets, they can't even tell you really why they're there. Number three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. So what does the left learn to do? They learn to argue the Bible because we don't know how to defend it. And so they take classes and they train their people how to fight, and they go out in the streets and fight, and we dumb Christians don't have any idea how to counter it other than I'll pray for you. Jesus loves you. That's the only two weapons that we have, basically. Four, make the enemy live up to his own book of rules. There we are. That's A number one with what they're doing, right? Are you? Christians aren't supposed to judge. And who's telling you that? Non-Christians. It happens all the time. And we're not smart enough to understand what we just read in Psalm 18. We don't understand the balance. What? It says you can kill them with this, for they can no more obey their own rules than the Christian church can live up to Christianity. There's Zelensky. Make them live up to their own set of rules. You saw what happened when I went to see Sherrod Brown. That how come an unborn baby doesn't have constitutional rights? Well, it's nuanced. It's nuanced. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. That's why they put the thing up there on Patheos about me. Ridicule. It's almost impossible to counteract ridicule. And it infuriates the opposition when they react to you. Hey, Vinny, you call me racist, and I have no defense. I have no defense. And everything's racist. Six, a good tactic is one that your people enjoy. Take them out there. We have to teach men. It's fun to go out in the streets and contend for the faith. Teach men to do that. It's fun. Seven, if practice drags on too long, becomes a drag. You're over. Do it. Hit it and go. Moon, get out there and go. Man can sustain militant interest in any issue for only a limited period of time, which it becomes a ritualistic commitment like going to church on Sunday mornings. See, going to church on Sunday as our form of worship becomes old. Oh, well. Sunday morning, we'll go to church. As soon as it gets over, we'll get something to eat. We'll go home, then we'll watch football the rest of the day. Right? Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Number eight, different tactics and actions. And you utilize all events of the period for your... Do we do that, folks? Do we keep the pressure on, never let up? No. No. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Church put a constant pressure. Listen, I'm not criticizing. Is the day of mourning putting constant pressure on this week? They started a great movement. Is the pressure this week and the next week and the next week? No, because the church doesn't even want to be part of it. They don't want to be part of it. A couple more, I think, Jerry. That's why the Lord said, listen, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And I always ask myself, Lord, why wise as a serpent? Why wise as a snake? What? Well, study him. study the snake, see what he does. He knows what he's doing in the world. He understands how the world operates. Study him. Be wise as a serpent, but be harmless. But watch what he does. Study what he does. Learn how to operate that.
Hey, Coach, here's a little bit of study. So how did the enemy round up a group of people to stand in front of that mosque in Columbus?
How'd
they do it? Now, here's the people that don't know they don't know the enemy. I was wearing that shirt, and it had the Nazarene symbol, and no one knew what it meant. And they're in front of a mosque. And then I challenged them on what the symbol was on top of the mosque. No one would answer me.
Amen.
You're defending it. Now, how does the enemy rally people? You mentioned robots earlier. They were just robots. They just showed up like robots.
They did.
How does he do it? You know?
The communists called these people useful idiots.
Mm-hmm.
They don't they don't think, they emote.
They're mob. So understand this, their churches are all about social justice. And folks, listen, social justice takes place in the streets, right? Our churches have no desire to take their faith to the streets en masse, no desire. And the other side, that's their lifeblood, taking their faith, social justice, to the street. So when we were showing up, it was their Christian duty to show up and oppose. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, if you talked about the serpent, he was a great wordsmith. He was real slick with his words. And if people aren't in tune to what's going on, what's being said, they'll fall for it. And that's what he did. And that's what they do. They use words and terminology that draws attraction to that. And that's what happens. They don't think about. And that's what happens. We turn off our brains. We don't think. And reason.
So it says right here, number 11, if you push a negative hard and deep enough, it will break through into its counter side. So what's the negative? That's not a baby. That's not a baby. It's a woman's right to choose. Who are you to tell a woman what she can do with her own body? Bang, 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 bang. And then what happens? Our side's repeating the same argument. But can't you see that? Can't you see what's going on? That the left has totally controlled the argument, dictated the argument, dictated upon what the rules of the argument are going to be, and we fall in line and play by their set of rules. Rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky's rule for radicals. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Cannot be trapped by the enemy in his agreement with your demand and saying you're right. The left never says you're right. Yeah, they never say you're right. They'll make an agreement and then they'll move to the next one. They never. Hey, first it was first trimester babies. Then it crept into the second trimester, right? Never enough for them. They make an agreement and it's never enough. Never enough. And our side talks about we can't win incrementally, and that's exactly what the left did. You know why we can't win incrementally? Because we do not have the courage of our convictions. We don't have them. And just look around. Try to organize a group of people to go out on the streets and fight for anything, and they don't have the courage of their convictions. They won't do it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know what? In my opinion, our side doesn't have a cause yet. We should have a cause, but we don't have a cause that we'll all rally around. And I think the only cause, and we've seen it historically, is persecution. I think when persecution comes, then that's the cause by necessity that we all have to rally around and tell them we have too much prosperity, there's too much money at stake in too many things, and people just, they have too much fun staying disunified.
Hey, Coach, they're too busy serving mammon, Coach.
They are.
To go back to what George said, what our cause should be and their cause should be, it should be the same thing. It is to get out of the way that which prevents the erection of our kingdom. We have a kingdom that we want to see put in place. They have a kingdom. We are in their way. They need to remove us.
Amen.
Okay. Likewise, why isn't our cause what Christ told us it was? okay, to get them out of the way to establish his kingdom. We're short-sighted. You know, we just resist them instead of, you know, driving them out of the way using the same, the tactics that Alinsky uses is the distilled tactics of Bolshevism, communism, Lenin, and Buchanan, and all the old guys from back in the 1850s, Marx, Engels, all those guys. He just distilled it down. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it is how you move a mass of people from where they are to where you want them to be. And the whole concept of, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Mm-hmm. Well, how frequently was communism erected after wars and erected after civil wars? Okay. All the time.
Right. All the time.
And that's what they're waiting for here. When the time is right to cause that massive crisis so that they can sweep all of us away and put in place in what they want. And to kill millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions mean nothing to them. Nothing.
Nothing. And boys and girls, they've taught that to our children. That's what you're seeing out in the streets. They've taught it to our children.
Yeah, right? but I've got them for an hour and a half on Wednesday night.
Yeah, you'll straighten them out, Roger. You'll straighten them out. And so what we see happening is an infiltration and a takeover of the culture, and to the point where Christians are so dumbed down, our churches are so dumbed down, that we teach a Christianity in our churches that is totally about us, comfort, peace, and loving your neighbor. That's the gospel, that whittled down to its finest. God is here to bless you and to teach you to love your neighbor. That's the message of the church. And
boy, see, that is so side, true.
Yep.
That is and so other, true, Coach.
Yep. And the other side is hell-bent on destroying every aspect of the image of Christ.
And you give out turkeys on Thanksgiving. We got to give the turkeys out on Thanksgiving.
But, Coach, we take those weapons that Lord says to use against the enemy, and we use it against each other.
We do. We do.
And all the other side has to do is just watch.
You know, go ahead. So Chad,
they laugh because they love the divide and conquer. They don't have to do anything. They just set up these parameters, and we fall for them each and every bloody time. When are we going to stop? When are we going to learn? We need to stick together. We need to take their tactics and use their weapons against them.
Amen. Amen. See, we can't, you want to have a battle. And I understand it. You go into a church and you try to tell people to homeschool their kids. You want to fight? People don't even realize that the enemy has seized the education of our children. And we're so brainwashed in America that we think that when a kid graduates from high school, he has to go to 4 years of college to get trained for a career. We don't understand. We don't understand how they've brainwashed and what they've done us. And what they do is they get our best and our brightest in college and teach them Alinsky. And our children, rather than being arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, our children, we send them to Caesar to be educated, and we're surprised they come out like little Romans.
Coach, what you're doing today is, I believe, at the formation of our country, what you were doing was more commonplace amongst the true church. Now you're like one in a million because there's so few people calling out the truth and fighting against evil. But man, you get guys like Jonas Clark and George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. Coach, that was you. That was you, but now we're seen as fringe when really us calling out evil and confronting the evil is what we're supposed to do as Christians.
Boy, that is so true, George. That is really a good point. But you know what? We have the onus. Now that we know, though, I think we have the responsibility to raise the standard and push back. Us, the people in this queue.
Hey, man, who else is going to do it, fellas? Listen, you walk into your average men's ministry Sunday morning, I'm sorry, Saturday morning men's breakfast, and you stand up and you do, George, I was going to play your thing at the council. Maybe I'll get to it tomorrow. You go stand up and say, ministry leader, pastor, I would like to read something. And you read some treatise on abortion and what's going on in abortion. When you're done, the men in that place are going to think you passed gas. They are not gonna respond any way, shape, or Christian men are not even gonna be moved in their heart to protect the innocent amongst us. Boys, what's that all about? See, that's what we're fighting against. Our team isn't a team. And so they've done a great job of putting groups of teams together that do nothing. See?
Exactly.
They go to church. They think they're active in their church, but in fact, they're doing nothing. Come on in. I'm sorry.
No, no problem. We're waiting for a baton to be handed to us. We just need to grab something and say, this is the baton, guys. Let's go with it. What the heck? What are we waiting for?
You give them the baton and they'll hand it to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
JR said they wouldn't seize it if we gave it to them. So that's why we're fighting. That's where our battle. Boy, I'm circling back to where I started, see? So, folks, listen, remember, go back in Ezekiel, I talk about my mark being put on you. You guys are marked. Now, you can run from that marking, or you know, some guys drop in and out. You can run from that marking, or you can accept it. And shouldn't be fearful what's ahead of you, because you're already dead. If you're born again, you've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you. Christ lives within you. In the life you now live, you live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for you. Your life is not your own. And if you are born, I'm going to say this real slow. If you are born again, your life is not yours. The life that you're living, boys and girls, belongs to the Lord. It's not your life. And sadly, you can think what you want to about serving the Lord. It's more than love. It's more than love your neighbor. Friends, listen to me. It's more than love your neighbor. We'll say it one more time. The gospel of Jesus is more than love your neighbor. It's more than that. But that's about as deep as most churches go. Amen? Somebody help me wrap this up.
Amen, brother. Right on.
It all comes back to that Samson's honey, Coach. They feasting on Samson's honey, brother. You're going to like that when you dig into that deal, man.
I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to put it up here so I don't forget.
Coach, you're equipping us to equip others.
That's what I'm trying to do, brother.
If we're not activists, we're missing the whole point. That's what the church has done. They have been inactive. They stayed in their full four walls and their safe zone. Well, they're not changing anything.
But not only that, Randy, they have no intentions of changing anything. Not only are they not changing anything, they have no intention of changing anything.
Amen.
Just love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Here's the good news. God's always used small troops, man. He's always used small troops. Always has. And we're growing every day. John Brockhoff's going to join us tomorrow, and I'm going to give some of you a fair warning. John Brockhoff burnt down two abortion clinics in Cincinnati on the same night. Burnt them to the ground. He didn't harm anybody. He's going to tell you how he staked it all out, everything. I got to keep him on target. He'll go down bunny trails for sure. Spent 10 years in jail. He believed abortion was murder. He believed those little babies were created in the image of God. And he went out and he did his service as he saw it to his Lord and Savior. Never forget what John told me. His coach, they didn't kill any more babies at those places. So he's going to be here in studio tomorrow. John, clean up your beard, man. Look good tomorrow when you come in here. And again, I'm going to come back to where I started. I'm not condoning violence, killing people, burning down buildings. But I'm telling you this. The other side is heading that way. And if the church thinks that we're going to passively fight through what's coming down the road, boys and girls, we got another thing coming. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.